meow with me.
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and real live from a windowless bunker
in an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And this is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Nikki Darling. What is your animal wrestling name on the Fiends?
Well, I had picked Freedom Master because it's from the show House, but yeah. I'm regretting that.
Why? You're the one that's not the animal name. You're the exception to the rule.
Well, but I'd like animals, so I wouldn't mind an animal name.
Okay, well, I know that you want to go boar hunting, so you don't want to call yourself the Wild Boar. That doesn't sound like a very stimulating radio name.
No, it's not very ladylike.
No. Is hunting wild boar ladylike?
I don't know. It's pretty cool, I guess.
And that's the kind of show this is. We have ladies who want to shoot boar and have their dogs chase them around and nip at their heels. And then you have to stab them in the heart, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. I like all of it except to stab them in the heart part. I just want to shoot them from a distance and have it be unremoved from me or removed. Yeah. So I guess there's an Ebola outbreak somewhere, and there's a rumor that Barack Obama has signed an executive order allowing the medical detention of anyone with respiratory problem or illnesses. So I don't think we shouldn't clear our throat on the air. They might Gitmo us if we.
Are you serious? Because my mom has like a genetic respiratory problem that she uses a nebulizer for every day.
Yeah, you're asking me about a rumor and
okay,
if your mother's
rumor.
In danger.
I
don't know.
Well, she goes to the hospital in D.C. like every week for her appointment, so I don't want her to be snatched up.
Yeah. No, I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, good.
Unless we get a little more popular. Yeah, I mean, that's a problem with news about, look what Obama's done to you today, about the tyrannies. It's really hard to find valuable sources that aren't wing nutty blogs with too many colors and too bright fonts and blinking icons that don't, you know, where like that's the main source. And then you search a phrase on it to look for, you know, confirmation, and you get like 400 blogs reposting that one and nothing else. It's kind of a circular. And the thing is, I don't doubt that the government, that any government would do any of the horrible things that those blogs accuse the president and the government of secretly doing to you and me and myself. But yeah, like you sent me something yesterday that it said that that New York State with the Department of Homeland Security was paying people $500 to snitch on their neighbors if their neighbors were preppers. Now, I wouldn't put this past the governments, especially New York State. I grew up in New York State, got out like a day after my, 3 days after my 18th birthday. I was like, this place is horrible. I'm out of here. You know, and I'm 50 now. So I got out a long time ago and it's gotten worse. But I do know that the New York State not too long ago changed their gun laws that in a way that made a bunch of previous nonviolent, honest gun owners felons overnight. And they had billboards, because my dad sent me a picture of one. They had billboards saying $500 to turn in your neighbors for illegal guns. And I actually, this is kind of interesting because I did the math on it at the time. And, you know, it says that Jesus was sold out for 20 pieces of silver. It says that in the Bible. Mm. And, you know, handed over to the soldiers by one of his friends. And I did the math on it, and that $500 was pretty much about what 20 pieces of silver were at the time.
So,
yeah. I looked up what the original pieces of silver of that time were, what they weighed, what the current price would be. It was like, you know, it worked out to like four something plus the tax you'd have to pay to New York State for getting paid the money by New York State. It was right around $500 at the time. But, you know, there were so many problems with that, like, video and article. I mean, even the video itself, like, they had to edit and put little text balloons over it, like, correcting parts in the video. You know, it's this kind of non-journalism where people hear something that has a grain of truth in it, interview some man on the street or woman on the street, turn it into a news piece, and it goes friggin' viral because, you know, there's a huge cottage industry of fear and reaction to fear in the world. And I fall prey to it. I'm a tiny little periphery dot on that that cottage industry sometimes. But we try to just laugh at the state, you know.
So, yeah. It is always good to be prepared to, though. You don't have to go crazy with it, but...
Well, it's crazy. I mean, you know...
Well, I mean, people who probably have 500 rolls of toilet paper in their house or something, that's a little crazy.
You probably just insulted half our listeners.
Oh, well, sorry.
I don't think you can be too prepared, but I would say that some survival skills go a lot further. You know, okay, put it this way, like, once you've got a half ton of food and supplies in your basement, between going from a half ton to a ton, you'd probably be better off spending that money on training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I think that in an apocalyptic situation, I think the person with training, a 22 rifle and a, you know, box of 50, 22 bullets is probably going to fare better in the long run than the person with no training with the basement full of stuff.
Yeah, and you can't run with 500 rolls of toilet paper. You can't go anywhere. No, you can build like a little fort out of it, maybe. Yeah.
I like 22s. You ever shoot a 22?
Yeah. No, but I make earrings out of 22.
Oh, yeah, you do. 22 like, shells or brass and feathers and porcupine quills. It's pretty cool. Where can people get that jewelry?
NikkiDarlingArt.com.
I like that website. That's a good website. I've seen it. I actually designed it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very simple. It just leads to an Etsy page and some other page. Because, a lot of sites won't let you, like, redirect a domain to them. So you have to do it through an intermediary page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I just bought a Life Straw. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I think they advertise on this network.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. You can just drink out of any body of water with this straw. So, and it has a 15-year shelf life.
Do they advertise on this network?
I think Big Berkey does, and I'm convincing my boyfriend to buy one of those, too, because water is pretty important.
There you go. That's good talk radio. If you mention the competition of one of the advertisers, you should mention one of the – and you're not just doing it to do it as a rule of talk radio. It's
No. I love the Big Berkey. I think it's a great invention. I mean, even if the world doesn't go down, I mean, it's still good to have clean water.
Yep. And this was not planned, people. This actually happened. I guess the thing with prepping is that you know, most people don't have any sort – a lot of people in America, at least, don't have any sort of prepping anymore, to the point where, like, literally, if they're without power for 3 days, they're freaking out and wanting to kill their neighbors.
Yeah.
Big cities.
Yeah. We had a derecho like 2 summers ago. It's like a huge rainstorm, and we didn't have power for 4 days, and people were literally arguing at the gas stations, arguing at traffic lights because nobody would stop. It was insane.
Yeah, that's a big reason. I mean, not particularly the prepping aspect of it, but that whole kind of, rugged individualism versus no individualism and no ruggedness is part of the reason. I wouldn't say part of the reason we moved to Wyoming, but part of the reason we're glad we moved from Southern California, from LA County to Wyoming. I think it would be many more weeks in Wyoming before people started turning on one another than it would be in a place like Southern California or Maryland where you live.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So I've been reading this book called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon by David McGowan. You ever heard of it?
No. Sounds interesting, though.
It's kind of a conspiratorial book. It doesn't... Okay, let me give the premise of it first. Let me do this in order from the macro to the micro. Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon by David McGowan is a book that came out this year. The basic premise of which is that... an inordinate amount of the 60s countercultural heroes and musicians and anti-heroes lived in this one neighborhood in L.A. called Laurel Canyon, which is – that's a fact for sure. That's not conspiracy. It predated the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco being a hippie mecca. And we're talking about bands like people that lived in that neighborhood were, you know, the Byrds, the Doors, Buffalo Springfield, the Monkees, the Beach Boys, the Turtles, the Eagles, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, Steppenwolf, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Three Dog Night, Love, Jimi Hendrix, Judy Collins, James Taylor, Carole King. I mean, that's just a sampling. I mean, I could read until through the next ad break and read the names you'd recognize from that neighborhood. It's a really small neighborhood. It's in Los Angeles. It kind of connects Sunset Strip or Sunset Boulevard to the valley. And it's a hill and there's one road going through it. So it's kind of secluded and it's very rural. It feels like being in the country. I mean, even now, like driving through, you know, if you live in LA and go to the valley at all, you probably drive through there every day. But it's very secluded, very beautiful, very rugged and rustic compared to the rest of the city. It's kind of unique. I don't think there's a place on earth, and I've visited a lot of countries and a lot of states. I don't think there's a place on earth quite like it. And let's see, Charles Manson lived there and murdered there, and was friends with had met people he'd murdered there. And was a musician and was hanging out with, like, Neil Young was trying to get Charles Manson a record deal.
And Brian Wilson
and Dennis Wilson. Yeah. And actually he recorded a bunch of demos with him and they all disappeared. And everyone claims, oh, I never worked with him. But this author's theory is that, you know, there were a lot of good songs there and a lot of famous musicians just stole the songs and say they wrote them. The Beach Boys actually did record a version of a Manson song. There's a song called Cease to Resist, which was based on a Manson song called Cease to Exist, or maybe it's the other way around. But yeah, man, those people were deep into weirdness, and there was an inordinate amount of drugs and guns. And okay, all of that is true and factual. The conspiracy part that this guy is putting forward is the possibility that it was all orchestrated by the CIA to dilute the anti-war movement.
Whew.
Quite a claim. We'll have more on that when we come back after this trip to the market.
Meow.
On the Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow.
The Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean, and we are talking about this book, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, which is a takeoff on the Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine phrase in the Doors song. Oh, yeah. The Doors lived in Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic premise of this book by David McGowan, it's about the neighborhood Laurel Canyon in L.A., which is a rural, rustic, really kind of mellow, like seemingly mellow when you drive through it. You know, it seems like you're out in the woods in the country somewhere, even though it's in the city. Neighborhood in L.A. where an inordinate number of musicians who were movers and shakers in the 60s youth movement. I sound like an old person. Movers and shakers in the 60s youth movement lived and worked and wrote songs and took drugs and according to this book too, like had, you know, satanic pedophilic you know, baby murdering episodes, but who knows. But he said a lot of houses burned down in that neighborhood. He said a lot of houses in that neighborhood have secret underground passages that date back to like the 1920s.
Wow. Is it because of the forest fires?
I don't know. I think it was for, you know, connecting. I think there were like old mini mansions that were connected to each other that used to be maybe the same property and now they're not. Or maybe for, you know, hiding gold in case the Nazis won and took over America. I don't know what it was for. Maybe it was for hiding alcohol during Prohibition. Maybe it was for hiding sex slaves and, you know, captives, your captive enemies. I really don't know. But so that's the factual, or the fact that this neighborhood exists is the factual part of this. The wacky conspiracy part of this that I'm almost starting to believe, and I'm not very susceptible to that kind of stuff, is that there was government involvement in crafting the youth movement. The youth movement. He points out a bunch of things like, okay, an inordinate number of these people came from families that had not just military members or military background, but high-level, high-ranking military or military intelligence connections, and an inordinate amount of them grew up in Alexandria or Arlington, Virginia, which are kind of hotbeds for those places. I used to live in Arlington, Virginia. It's no big thing. No big thing to live in Arlington. Yeah, but also the guy, the LSD chemist who was pushing LSD in the 60s, Augustus Alsley Stanley III, talk about a yacht club name there, whose father had been like a congressman and grandfather had been a, you know, bootlegger and congressman. I mean, they had like long, old moneyed power connections. That guy was the sound engineer for the Grateful Dead. He designed a lot of their equipment. He designed a lot of the way music is presented to a large audience now. You know, did a lot of improvements on sound systems, but that was kind of his hobby. That wasn't his job. His job was manufacturing LSD, and he didn't really seem interested in the money. He seemed like he was on a mission to turn on everybody in California or the world, and would show up at events and give away like, you know, 10,000 hits of high quality LSD. And of course, you know, LSD had been used by the CIA and the Army in mind control experimentation. You know about MK Ultra?
I've heard of it. I haven't really researched it too much.
Yeah, it was basically this program of dosing unwitting soldiers, prostitutes, civilians, scientists with LSD and observing them to see if it could be used for mind control or, you know, chemical warfare or incapacitating an enemy. Or creating Manchurian candidates who unwittingly become zombies for the government and perform assassinations when a certain key phrase is uttered, things like that. You know, there's implications that the government entirely orchestrated the youth movement and the counterculture movement and the drug movement. Now, I don't know about it being completely manufactured, although he talks about just the absurdity, the small chance that all these people from DC and Virginia with these military backgrounds with, you know, who were musicians or some who even weren't musicians who became stars. There was a lot of, you know, taking someone who had the right look and making them a star. We know about the Monkees, of course, but, you know, that was also true of like the Birds. Like only one of them could play. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you know, that most of them couldn't play. They could only sing backup. Mm-hmm. Other people were writing their songs. Phil Spector lived in this neighborhood. Phil Spector had a studio band called The Wrecking Crew that played on almost all those albums, uncredited. But just the chance that all these people would just move from the East Coast to this weird neighborhood in L.A., like almost like Lemmings, he makes a great case for there's some government involvement. We'll have more when we get back on The Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
What sets survival punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. Freedom Fiends. Hello. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends radio show extravaganza. And we're discussing Nikki Darling and I from NikkiDarlingArt.com are discussing this book, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. It's about Laurel Canyon in the 60s and 70s and all the famous musicians who lived there, you know, the Doors, the Byrds, Jimi Hendrix, Buffalo Springfield, the Eagles, Frank Zappa, Steppenwolf, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, like, Robert Heinlein lived there. It wasn't just musicians. Charles Manson lived there and met some of the people he later killed, and some of the people that helped him kill lived there, and a lot of people were friends with Charles Manson. Now, all of that is true. But the premise of this book is that a lot of this stuff was orchestrated by the government. Now, I've actually spent two afternoons inside one of these creepy, weird, cool old mansions in Laurel Canyon. And I'm really glad I have, because reading this book, it kind of gives me, you know, it's not this fantasy, mythical land somewhere else. It's like I've actually been there. In my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, there's an interview with the screenwriter, Desmond Nakano, who wrote the screenplay of Selby's book, Last Exit to Brooklyn, when they made it into a film. And I interviewed him in his home twice because we had this rented camera. We interviewed him once. It completely, like, the video was unusable. And he was really gracious and let me come back and interview him again. Like in nice. In the same chair, in the same room, answering the same questions the same way. I mean, to the point where, like, you know, we'd already, like, I mean, the video was usable, but there was a bunch of background noise, there was construction going on, and there was something wrong with the SD card in it or the tape in it. It was tape back then. Ooh. You know, so we'd, like, laid it into the timeline to see where things would go around it and done work on it and homesteaded it into the project. But we needed to get some of it redone. And, like, we had him do, like, the same lines. I was like, oh, you answered it a different way the first time. Can you answer it exactly like this? And he was really cool about it. Wore the same shirt, you know, because it wasn't all of the tape. It was some of it. Nice. So we had to punch it in, basically. But this house was really cool. It was huge. It was probably 20 rooms. He lived there alone. He'd either just moved in or somebody had just moved out, because it was, like, completely empty. I mean, there was, you know, it wasn't like he was broke and selling things off. He had some really nice stuff, very, very few nice things. You know, I think he was moving in because the whole place was very cavernous, and it was the middle of summer, and there was a swimming pool in the backyard, like an old timey, you know, poured cement, nice, like early Hollywood pool. But the pool was empty and full of leaves in the summer or late summer. You know, it just kind of had this, like, cool, broke-down palace kind of feel.
Yeah, and sounds like a hermit.
Maybe. I don't know much about the guy, and I don't want to say anything bad about him because he was really nice and really gracious, although I'm a hermit, and I'm proud of it, so it's not bad.
Yep.
So the premise of this book, though, is that, you know, basically this herd migration of musicians from all over the country to this really secluded neighborhood without, like, the publicity that Haight-Ashbury had, like, including a song, Are You Going to San Francisco? Be Sure to Wear Some Flowers in Your Hair, written in Laurel Canyon in L.A., you know, by John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas, who was later, after his death, accused by one of his daughters of having repeatedly molested her. Do you remember that?
No. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. See, here's the thing. You know, people would say, like, why would the government, you know, create a youth movement full of drugs and, you know, anti-government speak? I can see why they would, and I've thought of this before, and it's actually brought up in this book, is there was an actual anti-war movement in America that was pretty strong before there was ever a single hippie. And they weren't wacky, and they weren't drugged. They were not drugged out. They were, you know, ministers and priests and rabbis and nuns and, you know, intellectuals and college professors. But they weren't the, you know, what people thought of as the unkempt, drugged out, jobless hippies. And it would kind of make sense to dilute the power of that movement by making it bigger and wackier and unable to get itself together, you know?
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. And LSD, you know, there's a theory that there's a pretty strong possible, you know, it could be true that the government was smuggling, you know, the CIA was smuggling cocaine in the Noriega years. You know, they call the CIA the Cocaine Import Agency. That they basically invented crack to keep black people down in inner city neighborhoods so they couldn't get strong enough to band together and do anything the government didn't like. That is pretty universally believed, and there's been some pretty scholarly reporting on that.
Yep.
I would believe the possibility that, you know, some of the LSD flooding the streets and campuses and concerts in the 60s had some government fingerprints on it.
Hmm. Well,
It's pretty hard to run a revolution when you're stoned.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I will say LSD is one of those drugs that scares the pants off of me. Never touch it.
It's a powerful phenomenon, and people are religious about it who like it. You know, it's actually being reclassified for legal medical experimentation for therapeutic use for the first time in 25 or 30 years.
With the PTSD?
With PTSD, with chronic, with actually with pain management, which is kind of bizarre, like in really low doses. And it's not so much that it's a painkiller the way narcotics are, the way opiates are, but that it kind of makes you deal with the pain better or disassociate from it or be less bothered by it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I had heard they are trying to use MDMA for PTSD also.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I would recommend this book, Laurel Canyon, Covert Ops. Oh, it's called Laurel Canyon, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. Laurel Canyon, Covert Ops, and the Dark Heart of the Hippie Dream by David McGowan.
Ah, it's a long title.
Yeah, but it's a pretty descriptive title.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look it up and see if I can find it.
Yep, it's He also makes a big deal of the fact that the Doors kind of sprang out of nowhere. None of them had been in bands. They were fully formed and jumped on the scene with like all the songs they would ever record, and they never changed members. They were one of the only bands that never changed any members. I don't know if that's really indicative of them being a government plot, but The book makes a lot of connections that don't seem like connections to me, but, you know, there's so many of them that after a few hundred pages, you're just like, this kind of makes sense. James Dean lived in Laurel Canyon. Dennis Hopper lived in. Did you know Dennis Hopper was in Rebel Without a Cause?
No.
When he was really young. Yeah, I didn't know that. Fatty Arbuckle, W.C. Fields. Yeah, Orson Welles. Like, this had been a you know, a hip happening, like kind of movie star hideout in the 30s, 40s, and 50s before it became a hippie hangout in the 60s. Laurel Canyon did.
Yeah. Sounds like a nice neighborhood.
Yep. Robert Heinlein. I'm a fan of Robert Heinlein. Are you?
Yeah. I haven't read all his stuff, but
I've read 1.5 of his books.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not enough that much of a fan. I don't know. My thing with him is I really love the stuff that he writes that takes place in reality. And a lot of his books start out there and then go into a really weird world. And the weird world is the part most of his fans really like.
Mm-hmm.
But I like them less when the books go to that part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've got a reading list, a huge one, and I just have to find time to read because I'm just always in front of the computer editing photos. So, but I did want to recommend a documentary because I know you love documentaries too. But yeah. This goes into the whole CIA, like Noriega, Iran, Contra
yeah.
thing. It's called the American Drug War: The Last White Hope, and they interview Freeway Rick Ross from prison in this, and a lot of other cast of characters. It's a really interesting documentary.
Freeway Rick Ross was a player back in the '80s, early '80s, yep. drug dealer mm-hmm. in L.A. Now, who kind of brought crack to the streets? Now, did he yeah. have any government connections?
Well, his dealer out of where was it? Where were the Contras from again? Was that Guatemala? His dealer was from there, and then he was actually an informant for the CIA.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, another premise that this book makes, David McGowan makes in this book, that's very strong for, hey, maybe there was some government whatever behind some of this music making. In LA, none of these people were drafted successfully and like stayed over there.
Well, was there like a drug rule when they were drafting people? Like you can't.
No, man. Are you kidding? If there okay. were, they wouldn't have had anybody over there because they were just yeah. drafting all the hippies off the campuses. You know, a lot of people like Ted Nugent, who was totally not involved in this scene. It would have been too weird for him. Brags, you know, he's a totally pro-military right wing. I mean, he's great when he talks about self-ownership, but he's also really strongly pro kill all the Muslims and pro, you know, kill anybody who's dealing drugs. Yeah. He claims to be for the free market and self-ownership, but he doesn't want to leave people alone to do what they want to do. But he is really famous for being a draft dodger, which is really bizarre because now he's totally like, support the troops. I love the troops. Yeah, he like didn't bathe or I don't even want to say on the air what he did. He like, you know, used his pants as a toilet for like a month before he went for his physical when he got his draft notice. But a lot of people did things like that. It didn't work, you know, and a lot yeah. of the Laurel Canyon musicians got a draft notice and went down and acted crazy. But if acting crazy got you out of the army, there would have been nobody over there if it were that easy to do. You know, two people got drafted. Elvis Presley got drafted, but that was basically like a big covert ops. You know, I think he was paid to do that. He was the poster boy for the military. And somebody asked him one time, what do you think of the Vietnam War? And he said, oh, I'm just an entertainer, ma'am. I don't have an opinion on that. You know, which, and Jimi Hendrix was forced into the army to avoid jail for a drug charge, but he got out really quickly from an injury. And the thing is, he was a really bad soldier and he was really, you know, didn't comply, but he was put in a very elite squad, the 101st Airborne. How did that happen?
You know?
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yes. He thought I was gonna meow. But no. Worms. So, Nikki Darling.
Yes.
This is Michael Dean. Which of these crazy liberal conspiracies do you want to talk about? Not conspiracies. Crazy liberal things. Crazy things that liberals... Look what the liberals said today. Which crazy one do you want to talk about first?
Well, the good solution to open carry idiots really, okay, wait, really wait, disturbed wait. Me.
First, if that's the title of it.
Yeah.
We don't think open... We do not... think open carry people are idiots. Yes. I have open carried on many occasions. I don't anymore, usually. I mean, I will. For one thing, I really hate wearing a belt. You know, I'm kind of plump. And I hated wearing a belt when I was skinny. I've just never liked wearing a belt. I don't like things hanging on my hip. You know, you can carry under the shoulder, but then with most holsters, you're pointing the gun at everyone behind you. So I don't really like to open carry, though, mainly for tactical reasons, because when you're open carrying, you have to be a lot more aware of everything you do, because there's always the chance, you know, that a bad guy could grab your gun, but more likely that, like, a kid is going to come up to you in Walmart and say, "Look, a gun," and point at it and think it's a toy. So yeah. You have to be even more so, you know, situationally aware than if you're concealed carrying. And I just don't like to have to think that much 24/7 when I'm walking around.
Yeah.
So, well, and you know, there's also the theory that if the bad guy comes in to rob the store or the bank and he's really, you know, a lot of people who rob stuff don't really want to kill anybody and are trying not to. I'm not saying they're good people, but... there are different breeds of criminals, and there are the ones that plan to go in a bank and shoot the guard, you know, that kind of person that are going to kill people. Those guys are going to shoot you if you're open carrying, if they're still planning on going through with what they're going to do. So, yeah, I don't like to open carry, but I have no moral problem with it. And I think people who are against it are as nutty as they think people are who do it.
Yeah, hoplophobia, the fear of guns.
I think it's pronounced hop? Hobble.
Is it hop?
Hobble. Hop. Yeah, they're hobbled with their mental illness.
Yeah, well, yeah, my dad is like that, too. He really hates guns. I don't know where it comes from. He's from Texas. I don't get it.
You know what? Diana, another one of our co-hosts, who's from North Carolina, her dad hates guns. Maybe the dads of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts who hate guns should start a support group.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and my dad's a registered Republican. I don't get it.
Registered. Good. I'm glad they've registered those people.
Mm-hmm.
They need to register all those political people so we can keep track of them. I used to be a registered Republican, and an interesting thing about the state I live in, Wyoming versus California, if you don't vote in one election here, every 2 years elections here, you know, the local and this is for the state too, for the federal ones, but if you don't vote in an election here in for 2 years, after you don't vote, after two more years, after the second election you miss, they send you, the registrar of voters, the state registrar of voters sends you a postcard and says, you didn't vote. Please sign and return this or call us or go online and let us know you're still planning on voting or we're taking you off the voting rolls.
Nice.
So I am no longer a registered voter. The state took me off. Now, I still get a bunch of crap in the mail from the Republican Party, you know, the same people that locked Ron Paul out of the process and changed the rules so no one like him could ever get a chance again. They still send me crap in the mail and want me to fill stuff out. They haven't got the message yet. You know, it's kind of like when you break up with somebody, you know, the state of Wyoming has accepted that I'm not calling them anymore and they realize we've broken up. But the Republican Party is still stalking me like a creepy ex.
Mm.
But California, we left California and I was still getting stuff forwarded in the mail from there, like, you know, the voter stuff, like, you know, here are the policies for here's the issues for everything on the election, which is really weird because it's like you can't legally vote if you don't live in that state anymore. But they're still trying to get you to vote. We'll be back with more about how crazy and stupid liberals are when we get back from this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends. I'm waking up. I'm finally awake.
Good.
I think Hesperus is going to interview this, review this book on the Fiends blog soon. Weird Scenes nice. Inside the Canyon. I'm very psyched. Yeah. Freedom Fiends on your radio, in your ear hole, in
meow,
your
meow.
A brain worm in your cerebellum. Actually, that's the non-thinking part of the brain that controls motor function, but that's okay. We'll turn you into zombies with our voices.
Yep. Meow meow worms.
Meow.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
I didn't hear you meowing. I thought maybe you fell down a woodchuck hole.
Meow.
Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is a vast no-wing conspiracy. It's a vast experiment into a new kind of radio where it's myself and 13 co-hosts who are all in different locations rotating on a spit. They're not all on at once. They're And sometimes I'm not even on. Sometimes I give myself the night off and have someone else do it. Derek J usually is the team leader when we do that because he is so experienced at radio because he does a lot of it on LRN. And he also has the Comrex, which is what you need to do to connect to the network. Now, the Freedom Fiends are trying to raise money to pay our programmer to come up with something that will replace that very expensive box and be better than Skype for connecting to remote hosts, because we want to improve the sound of liberty. And Skype isn't that great. It's got its problems. It's pretty good because it's free, but we want to make something that's free that's better, and it's going to be called Fiend Phone. And you can go to fiendphone.com. That's F-E-E-N, like Foxtrot Echo Echo November. Fiend Phone, P-H-O-N-E. So it's F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com. Go over there and check out the little video. It's 80 seconds long. If you got 80 seconds of your life to help improve liberty, you can see what you can do to help there. If you can't take donation, if you can't give a donation, think about sharing that on your Twitters and your face beefs and your social networks and tell two friends. So, Nikki, we went to the break with me saying, liberals are so stupid. And and then I hijacked myself at some point, and we never finished it. And this is a teaching hospital where we teach the next generation of Liberty Talk hosts to do what we do. And one of the things I will point out is it doesn't matter how much you go down hijacked, concentric, parenthetical wormholes of thought onto different topics if you come back to what you started with. It's actually unsatisfying to the listener to not complete something the speaker started, even if they don't notice, if they don't go, oh, wait, he was talking about something else, you know, because you're so interested in going down these wormholes, they're not going to go, they're not going to remember what you were talking about. But later, there'll be something just bugging them about, that show was cool, but there was something unsatisfying about it. So we're going to satisfy y'all now and talk about this crazy liberal professor. Is he a professor?
Yes. Yeah, right. Professor Jack Russell Weinstein.
Yeah, so, you know, liberals are statists, and statists are people who worship the state. And statists generally love stealing. They love murder. They love theft, fraud, aggression, all the things that we don't love as libertarians. They love those things if they think they're for the greater good. And this is a guy who thinks that stealing from honest people is good if it's for the greater good of having people not open carry weapons. So go ahead and read this, please.
Yeah, this is from the Daily Kos. It's called A Good Solution to Open Carry Idiots. And this is a quote by Professor Jack Russell Weinstein. It says, my proposal is as follows. We should all leave immediately. Leave the food on the table in the restaurant. Leave the groceries in the cart, in the aisle. Stop talking or engaging in the exchange. Just leave unceremoniously and fast. But here's the key part. Don't pay. Stopping to pay in the presence of a person with a gun means risking your and your loved one's lives. Money shouldn't trump this. It doesn't matter if you ate the meal. It doesn't matter if you've just received food from the deli counter that couldn't be resold. It doesn't matter if you just got a haircut. Leave. If the business loses money, so be it. They can make the activists pay.
Man. So this guy is saying, steal. Don't pay for your meal. Don't pay for your haircut. Just leave. And if enough people do this, you know, someone will, they'll either outlaw open carry or stores won't allow it.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. Because we all know about private property laws, and any business should be able to have any rules they want on their property. And if they allow gun owners to open carry on their property, just don't go there. Seriously.
Yep. Yeah. Did somebody think you were serious? You condone this when posting it?
No, I just wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Nobody thought that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Open carry. I'll tell you this. I feel safer around a citizen open carrying than I do around most police in most cities open carrying.
Yep. Yeah. When I lived in Salt Lake City, there was a guy who ran into a grocery store and started stabbing everybody in the front of the lines. And a guy who was open carrying pulled out his gun, took the guy down, and he wasn't able to stab more than like three people.
Yeah. And you don't hear those stories on the news very much.
Nope. People are just so afraid of guns. I don't understand it, because I continue to like tell my father, for instance, somebody with a gun might save your life one day.
Statistically, it's unlikely. I mean, statistically, I carry a gun 100% of the time when I leave the house, which is why I won't go certain places. I won't go to California. I won't go to New York or Maryland. I went to New Hampshire, and I guess I didn't have a gun while I flew there. I was without a gun. But, you know, in some ways, I kind of feel like airports are such controlled government situations. I don't know that I feel safe, because I feel really irritated the whole time. And I feel unsafe from the government, because they do tend to do things like, you know, think they see Bitcoin in your bag like they did with our co-host Davi and, you know, detain them and threaten to arrest them. But everybody in airports is kind of docile. They're kind of like they go into sheep mode, you know, like computers go into sleep mode. People go into sheep mode in airports. And I'm not saying like, thank God the government makes us safe. But I don't know. I just feel like everybody is. I guess someone did come in an airport recently and shoot TSA people. But that was in California, and I don't go there, you know.
Yeah. A state with very strict gun laws.
Yeah. And I did go. I went to Porkfest, and you know, if there's anywhere that it's cool to open carry, it's Pork Fest, you know, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And if you want to go to Porkfest, PORCFEST.com and read more about that. If you're a liberty minded person, I highly recommend you come there next year and hang out with us because we'll be there. I was carrying a gun, and I mentioned this before. I had it in a shoulder bag, you know, a messenger bag that I could reach in and grab it really easily because I just don't like open carrying. I don't like carrying anything on my belt, concealed yeah. or open. I don't like wearing jewelry. I just don't like stuff on my body. And we're going to talk later about why I don't wear a wedding ring even though I'm happily married. Now we have to talk about it because I said it.
Yeah.
If we don't talk about it, people will feel unsatisfied by the end
yeah.
of the show.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, you probably didn't hear, but the TSA now is running some campaign to get like suggestions on how to make their job better for everyone. And they're offering like a $5,000 prize for the best suggestion. So head over to the TSA website and troll them.
I don't know if I'd suggest doing that. I would say that's something people could do. That's probably illegal to tell people to do that. So I'm going to take that back on your account.
Is it? Okay.
I don't know. Cause you know, the government is really cracking down on free speech, and I'm not saying you shouldn't practice it. I'm just saying like, you know, I mean, they actually passed a law that makes it illegal to make any parodies of, you know, TSA emblems or, any other government agency emblem.
Yeah, but I mean, I would just write in there like a suggestion, like, please stop touching my colostomy bag, like something like that.
You don't have a colostomy bag.
No, of course I don't. But you know, the stories.
But if someone did, they could honestly write that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, it's interesting how the word liberty is so co-opted, not just by politicians, but like, you know, there's a catheter company called Liberty Catheters.
Yep.
There's, and very ironically, there's a tax preparation service called Liberty Taxes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and there's all these other things called Liberty. I think the only one that really makes sense to call it that is the catheter company, because if you have a medical condition where you need a catheter, I think it would be liberating to have a good one. Whereas, you know. You're doing your taxes, there's nothing liberating about that.
No,
it's
not
completely
at all.
The opposite. It's it feels like I don't want to say rape because I don't want to undermine rape. It feels like a gentle mugging. How's that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a violation.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So speaking of violations, liberals. This guy, Professor Jack Russell Jack Russell Weinstein. Who's a professor in North Dakota. This is kind of interesting that there'd be such a liberal anti-gunner in North Dakota anywhere. You know, I love North Dakota. It's a neighboring state, or, you know, the Dakotas are neighboring states to Wyoming. They're very similar geographically. They look a lot the same as Wyoming. They have a similar kind of hard work ethic attitude. They have a, you know, kind of a live and let live, leave me alone attitude in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bizarre. And we're on the radio there, too, in North Dakota. And I like that. We used to be on the radio in an area that would reach the University of North Dakota. We no longer are. That's unfortunate because I would hope this guy was listening to us. But there is the internet. I hope Jack Russell Terrier Weinstein would be listening to us. There's actually, you know, there's a picture. Have you ever seen those pictures of like funny stuff found on Google Street View?
Yes. Oh, I love
those.
Yeah,
you know, they're like people relieving themselves in alleyways and people doing drug dealers and deals and like businessmen walking out of strip clubs looking really nervous, like, I hope no one sees me. And the Google van drives by and sees them, and it's on Google.
Yeah.
And they've started like blurring out the faces. They have software to do that now, but they didn't used to have that. And there was this one really awesome one that was in Spearfish in the Dakotas. Is that north or south? I should look it up because we're on the radio there. It's let's look it up. I don't want to insult any of our listeners. Spearfish, South Dakota. Yeah, which is South Dakota touches Wyoming. Spearfish, South Dakota. It was a picture of a guy in a parking lot. And I looked, like, it had the coordinates on it. I looked it up. He was walking out of a gun shop, but you couldn't see the sign of the gun shop. And it was this really muscle-bound kind of biker-looking dude with a Harley Davidson shirt on, holding a battle rifle. You know, like a 30 cal, 30-round battle rifle. Like, not pointing it at anyone, not pointing it down, though. He was holding it, like, properly, like you were going into battle. And he'd just come out of the store. He just bought it, apparently, and was taking it to his truck or something. But he just looked. It was just this guy with a Harley Davidson shirt, like, holding a battle rifle, looking really intense. It was just like, yep, that's the Dakotas for you.
Wow. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. So, we'll have more about liberals and the state they love. The codependent relationship they have with their captors.
And kitties.
And kitties. We like kitties. We're going to talk about marriage, about the joys of marriage, and why you don't need a wedding ring. I got my wife a wedding gun, actually. We'll be back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael.
That's my wife.
And some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, operating on 4.5 hours of sleep. How much sleep did you get, Nikki?
About 5.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm envious. Yep, so we're talking about liberals and the state they love. So let's do really quickly just mention this jellyfish story or whatever it is by someone. It's interesting. It's the same last name as the guy Weinstein, Jack Russell Terrier Weinstein. Jack Russell Weinstein is the guy who wants you to steal from stores that have open carry allowed. And then there's this other article called Florida's Libertarian Beaches Can Kill You. And it quotes another Weinstein. I wonder if they're brothers. I wonder if there are people, you know, and I'm sure there's somebody saying, you're insulting Jews. You're one of them Zionist conspiracy theory. No, man, I'm just saying these guys have the same last name. I wonder if they're related. Yep. I wonder if, you know, they come from a family of people who insult people who want to be free.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I'll just chime in. I have a lot of friends that are Jewish. My daughter's Jewish. My late daughter, you know, her mother was Jewish. I have nothing against the Jews. I have a lot against Israel. But I have a lot against every nation. But Israel is one of the biggest and baddest and kills the most people and murders the most people. And you know, right now they're doing it in a really horrific way.
Yeah, it's pretty bad what's going on over there. I'd like to see an end to it.
You know what's interesting to me is, you know, reading this book about all the connections that these musicians had, reading in this great book, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, Laurel Canyon, Covert Ops, and the Dark Heart of the Hippie Dream by David McGowan, which I'm going to post a link to in the show notes today on freedomfiends.com. It's a really interesting book. I don't know if it's a great book. It doesn't really cite a lot of its sources, and I think a lot of his sources are Wikipedia, actually. But I think he digs a little deeper than that, but he does actually cite Wikipedia a bunch. You know, there was a lot of connection between a lot of these musicians and Charles Manson. And Charles Manson is held up as this, like, you know, like Hitler. Like, oh, you know, this person's worse than Charles Manson. Like, you know, Hitler killed millions and millions of people. Manson killed, like, you know, a half dozen or something, or eight.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a good guy. But, you know, the average, like, medium-sized city police force kills that many people in just a couple years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
States do things far worse than any individual ever could.
Yes, but people just don't see it. The state.
And without the state, we'd all be dying of jellyfish stings or something on beaches. So explain this article on the Daily Kos, which doesn't Kos stand for, like, you know, communist operatives syndicated or something, I think.
I don't know, because communism starts with – okay, I get it.
I think
anyway,
in Russia it probably started with a K.
Maybe. I'd have to look that up. But this article mainly is just knocking libertarians about our willingness to be resilient and self-reliant. And it pretty much is saying that every year in Florida, there's this outbreak of flesh-eating bacteria in the ocean waters. And it could be fatal to about 50% of people who get in their bloodstreams, which means you have to, like, go in the ocean and drink a bunch of water. And it killed almost one person a month last year. And Florida has generally warned people of the deadly danger of this natural occurring algae or bacteria. But, you know, as libertarians, we wouldn't warn people about that. We wouldn't go out and test the waters or anything. That's pretty much what this article is saying. And this article is saying Florida really needs to have people on every beach testing the water daily and then putting up signs to make sure nobody goes in because one old person died last month, you know.
And I think they're incorrect in calling these beaches libertarian. I mean, can you smoke a joint and open carry a gun and walk around topless on these beaches?
Nope, not in Florida.
Then they're not libertarian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being smart and responsible for yourself. They're pretty much saying, you know, people are irresponsible, so they need the government to warn them about something that's naturally occurring, when you could just Google this. And before you go to the beach, if you're scared of something, just Google it and put on some flip-flops and don't drink the water.
I trust Google to protect me more than I trust the government to protect me.
I do too. As long as you look at multiple links, don't just go with the first.
Yeah, and don't fall into that loop trap we talked about, where there's something crazy and conspiratorial that the government might do, post it on some blog, and when you search it, all you find is 300 blogs reposting the same article.
Yeah, sometimes if it sounds too wacky, it really is.
I don't know, though, because, you know, the government has done so many horrible things. You know, from testing LSD on unwitting soldiers and civilians to faking their way into the Vietnam War and the Iraq War. You know, those were both done on false premises. The Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam and the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
windowless bunker. So, Nikki darling, we were talking about the Middle East and the problems there. And, you know, a lot of people who listen to talk radio, I don't know about the people who listen to talk radio. I don't want to judge it based on the people who talk on talk radio. But a lot of people who talk on talk radio talk like they basically want to bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Ages, except for Israel, which is ridiculous. Not all those people who don't live in Israel are evil. And actually, they were there first. Israel was carved out of their land. You know, here's a thought, and I'm not saying like the people shooting people are good, but I'm saying like some of them are acting in self-defense of their land. And what would you do, you know, Mr. American patriotic, Constitution-loving gun owner? I'm a gun owner, you know, I have guns. What would you do if a foreign army invaded your streets and tried to kick you out of your land? Would you say, oh, it's God's will, I will leave now, you know? Or would you defend your land? No, you would defend your land and recreate Red Dawn to the best of your ability. And that's pretty much what's happening over there in a lot of cases. So, Nikki darling, talk about your boyfriend's family.
Boyfriend's father is a Christian Palestinian from Haifa, Israel, and he left there in the late 70s because the Israeli government took his family's land.
He's a Christian. A Christian. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And so Israel has this thing of kibbutzes, and I know a lot of this because my mother is Jewish. And kibbutzes
are like communist, which is really weird because so many anti-communist Americans back Israel, like, oh, Israel is the promised land. We must send our army to defend them. They're pretty much communist. They're also racist because that Israel is the only country that basically has an ethnic – one of like two or three countries that has an ethnic demand to have the rights of citizenship there.
Yeah, and you know what? As a libertarian-minded person, I definitely believe that if they want to have their own state and do whatever they want and not allow certain people in there, fine, so be it.
Well,
but
they
took someone else's land.
Yeah, there were people there first already. So.
Yes, and there are a lot of people that'll talk about Israel like they know what's going on there, but like I really do know what's going on there because of my boyfriend's father. I mean, he has really enlightened me to what's going on, and he doesn't hate the people of Israel. He loves them. He just doesn't love their government, and he really would have loved to have had his land, and he said that he came here and he had nothing, and he was a soccer player, and then he drove school buses or something, but he would have money to pass down to his children for their education if he had been able to have his portion of that land and sell it.
Yeah, think about that. Like, think about how many conservative Americans have good values when they speak, like, I don't want someone taking my hard-earned money. I want to keep my hard-earned money. I don't want to have it stolen for some liberal cause. When you're supporting Israel as a state, you are supporting the theft of people's hard-earned property for some liberal cause, for some, you know, communist kibbutz, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why they took most of the land and it's just it's really terrible. Now, I'm not going to condone Hamas either on the same end but at the same time, they're trying to defend their people. Both sides are claiming defense. But I want to see an end to the violence. There has to be a better way.
You know, they talk about a 3-state solution and a 2-state solution and a 1-state solution. How about a no state solution?
Yeah. Well, for a long time, the Jews and the Arabs had been getting along there before Israel ever came along. So
Israel was formed basically by the proto-UN, you know, by the League of Nations and the United States and England. They basically drew lines on the map over tea, as Winston Churchill said. They divided up, they carved up the empire over tea. Yeah. Yeah, man. War's bad. War's not good. You know what?
Yeah.
And most people's opinion, you know, you say you know what's going on because you know family over there too. I mean, it's like the whole Middle East situation with states, with what governments do. Governments are not their people. Like, we have fans in Iran, who like don't buy the line of what the leaders in Iran do and laugh at them, and actually have a lot more free speech than you'd think they do. They openly criticize them on the internet. It's no problem. But Nima, you know, the former co-founder of this radio show, Nima Vedati, you know, his dad is from Iran, fled right before the revolution because he was smart. Nima can't go visit his grandparents ever. He can't go to – if his dad said if Nima went to Iran, they would throw him in the army. They would kidnap him. He's 30 years old. They would kidnap him and throw him in the army.
Even with U.S. citizenship?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. Yep. It's terrible.
Yeah. So governments are stupid. You know, when you think about, we talked about, you know, really knowing what's going on, like actually having family members who've been there or friends with family members who've been there. You know what's going on. The people that don't know what's going on are the millions of people who get their information on what's going on from Fox News and CNN.
Yep.
And, you know, both Fox News and CNN are very pro-Israel.
Yep.
Pro-U.S. military intervention to help the state of Israel and hold them up on a mantle like they are perfect and Israel can do no wrong and they're always right. If you want to, here's my one of my acid tests for what's true in the world. Anything that Fox News and CNN, who are projected as mortal enemies, they're right, total right wing and total left wing, anything that those two agree on strongly is false. Yep. There's your acid test right there. Anytime CNN and Fox agree strongly on something, it ain't true or it's the wrong thing to do. So we're going to move on to some happy stuff. We're going to talk about marriage.
Ooh, happy.
Yep. I'm happily married for 8 years now. Been with my wife for 9 years. And I don't have a wedding ring, and her wedding ring is tiny. And you were talking about ladies that you know on the Facebooks just glowing, you know, in like an ecstatic trance about, I'm engaged. Look at my ring. And it's all about the ring. And
I was pretty much insulted because I don't have a ring.
No, you weren't. You didn't feel insulted personally for not having one. Someone insulted you for not having
exactly.
one.
Yes, exactly. And they pretty much were like, is your boyfriend cheap? Why won't he marry you? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
We don't care about it. Like, we're just together. That's it.
Yep. Yep. And we're married. We're legally state married. And, you know, as against state marriage as I am, you know, I basically think the government shouldn't have anything to do with marriage. And the reason they have something to do with marriage, the origin of that was to keep blacks and whites from marrying.
Yep. It's during Jim Crow.
The roots of a lot of tyranny in America is racist. That's racist. The first gun laws were to prevent freed slaves from owning guns. The first drug laws were, you know, a racial panic of, oh, these black jazz musicians smoke marijuana. It was all about race, man. And you could trade, you know, people don't know why things are illegal. Like, people who are adamantly in favor of marijuana still being illegal don't understand the roots of it, of how it was outlawed in one day in Congress when most congressmen didn't know what it was. And it was done to protect big business, man. It was Dow Chemical Company protecting their new patent nylon because hemp could be used. Well, this is what people say. I'm not going to come out and say it because I don't want to get sued. But the general belief is that Dow Chemical Company and the Hearst newspapers, because Hearst had a big investment in paper products for newspapers, and he owned forestry companies and didn't want hemp being used for paper because it was cheaper. So basically it was big business picking on something that should be freely, you know, people can make their own decisions with it. So how did we get from there, from marriage to there? And how do we get back?
I don't know. Well, I did want to say that the one thing I try to stress when I talk to my LGBT friends is that if we get marriage out of, or the government out of the marriage, that would be the best option for everybody. And they still just see it as inequality. They can't fathom life without government marriage, because if they're not included, then they feel oppressed. But if nobody's included, nobody is oppressed.
Yeah, I can see that, actually, because what I was going to say was that, you know, when my wife and I got married, we didn't like authority, but we didn't have the understanding we have now to distrust the government in everything it does, to distrust every government.
Yeah.
But if I had it to do all over, if I knew then what I know now, I think we still would have gotten state married, just because there are certain advantages to it. I mean, there's a tiny tax advantage to it. There used to be a much bigger tax advantage to it. And, you know, a lot of right wingers say, well, the government took that away because they're anti-family and anti-traditional marriage. I think the government took that away because they like to have more control over people. You know, I don't think it's an anti-family agenda, only in the sense, though, that the family is a stronger unit in a lot of cases than the government. And a lot of people put family before country and before, you know, it's not even about like worshiping the country anymore. It's about worshiping the government of the country. Mm-hmm. And the government has, left and right, but especially left, have really consciously orchestrated and synthesized that move, you know, to the point where like the government realizes that government is a dirty word and people don't like using that word. They, you know, they have negative connotations. So they tried a while back to replace that with your federal family, which is really creepy and Orwellian and fortunately did not catch on. I think the only people still saying it are us, the Freedom Fiends, as a joke, like respect your federal family, which is completely specious and ironic when we say it.
Yeah, so, there was some Jeopardy question and the answer was like George Orwell. And my dad looks at me. He goes, yeah, I bet you like that. You love 1984, don't you? It's like, why do I get teased about this?
Yeah, my dad wouldn't know what that is, although he doesn't like the federal government. He's a constitutionalist, small Republican gun guy. That's, you know. I actually have more to talk to him about now than I did a long time ago. But, you know, because my other siblings are all Obama lickers and he can't really fathom that and he can't talk politics with them because they still try to convert him, which is insane. But, you know, then he'll talk to me and I'll talk about, yep, I hate Obama. Yep, I hate Obama too. I like guns. I like guns too. I like lower taxes. I like lower taxes too. And then my dad's like, we need to vote and get the right people in there and restore the republic. And I'm like, I don't vote. It's a waste of time. It's participating in an unethical system of coercion, theft, fraud, and aggression. And he's like, what? Wait, huh? And it looks like it does not compute, like a machine that's jammed in a feedback loop.
Yeah, I try not to hate on people, but I don't put people on pedestals.
Yeah. I used to put women on pedestals just high enough to look up their dress, but we'll talk about marriage when we get back. Worms.
Meow, meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Broadcasting live and worldwide for Windowless Bathroom. That's what it sounds like. All right, so we want to finish up here and talk about marriage and wedding rings. My wife and I are happily married. I did not buy her a cushy wedding ring. I gave her my mother's engagement ring, which has a tiny diamond. It's probably worth between $100 and $200 if you had to buy it. She did not buy me a wedding ring. I didn't want one. I don't like wearing jewelry. When I wear anything, even a wristwatch, I feel like I'm a yoked cattle with a ring through my nose. I feel like there's something I'm carrying around that I don't want. And she bought me a wedding microphone.
Aww.
And I bought her a wedding gun, an anniversary gun. You know, and we didn't have a fancy wedding. We went to the courthouse, and we had one guest. It was an ex-girlfriend of mine who's still a friend of my wife and mine. And she was, you have to bring a witness when you get married at the courthouse in California. We had to bring a witness. So she was our witness and our photographer. She also took the pictures. And we got married in California at the Van Nuys Courthouse. And we walked out the door, husband and wife, and got panhandled right outside the door.
Wow. Okay.
Yep, cool. Like, hey, congratulations, man. You got a dollar. Like that's California for you.
Yeah.
So the money we saved on not having a lavish wedding, on spending, you know, like no money on a wedding ring, on wedding rings, and I think we spent about $125 on the wedding, which included, you know, whatever, the $75 for the wedding license or whatever, and we paid our witness, and we had her spend the night before, so she'd be sure to be there to go with us, because LA is such a cluster fark driving wise, you know, we wanted to make sure mm-hmm. she'd be there with us. So we paid her and paid for her gas to come out to where we lived. So yeah, we spent about $125 on our wedding, and we took the money we would have saved on having an extravagant wedding and buying expensive wedding rings and put a down payment on a house.
Nice.
Which I highly recommend. So anybody who tells you, you know, oh, you're stupid because you don't have a wedding ring, but if you put that money towards something for your future, you've got something that those crazy girls who want the expensive wedding rings don't have. You know, basically, those girls are asking their husbands to go into debt with them. My wife and I are not in debt. We have zero debt other than our mortgage. We have no credit card debt. We don't owe anybody anything. And that is a much happier way and more conducive to a good marriage than going into debt and having some dead lump of compressed carbon on your hand.
Exactly. And I'm not bashing on women who are into that sort of thing. It's just not my well, yeah, that's fine.
I think the big extravagant wedding is a synthetic thing that yes. should be condemned. I think it has nothing to do with love. I think it has to do with you know, creating commerce where there doesn't need to be any, you know, the wedding industrial complex and showing off. It's no guarantee. My wife was married once before, and her first wedding was the big expensive one, and they went to Aruba for the honeymoon, and you know, she had a nice wedding ring, and you know, that marriage did not last, and the guy turned out to be a drunk and later died of liver failure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually had to get his death certificate to get married because she never divorced the guy because she just separated from him because in California, he could have, and he would have sued her for palimony or for alimony. Yeah.
Wow.
And, so she didn't divorce him. She just left him, kicked him out, raised the kids without him. And, you know, he died about 5 years before we got married, and she had to actually go get the death certificate and bring it to the courthouse for us to get married.
Wow. Well, the one thing I want to say, though, about this, though, is I'm not going to bash on women for this sort of thing because my business revolves around wedding photography. And thankfully, 90% of the brides I've photographed have been super cool women. Excellent. So
you're part of the wedding industrial complex.
I am. It's really good money, and I can make my art.
Excellent. And I recommend that if people do some kind of art for a living and, you know, want to do the cool world-changing art, do something else in that art that makes money. It's the way to do it, man, you know?
To fund my trip around the world.
Yeah. If you want to donate to the Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. We also have a couple ad spaces opening up if you want to buy very inexpensive ad space on 25 commercial stations. Write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. It's been a great time, Nikki darling. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Worms.
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 What?
Fiendphone.com.
Yes. Worms.